Hey, Jeffy.
Hey, Jeffy.
Welcome to Hey Julia Podcasts about Survivor 45, I think. Danielle, it's been a while. How are you?
I'm good. I think we should just cut to the chase.
Okay.
Just because the way you open that, and then when I, Brett and I haven't recorded together for a week. We took last week off, and we had to push today. I logged on to the application we use to record, and I saw the title was Checking Back In on Survivor 45. And now Brett opens the podcast. Hey, Jeffy, this is a podcast about Survivor. Brett, how many episodes of Survivor do you think I watched these past couple of weeks?
So I have notes on every single episode of Survivor that we have yet to discuss yet.
Okay.
We have discussed a number of episodes from Survivor 45. There are three episodes that we have yet to discuss on these airwaves. Danielle, how many have you seen?
Historically, this has been a podcast about Survivor 45 since Big Brother ended. I watched one episode. Hey, that's probably one more than you thought when I asked that question. I watched the most recent episode.
Okay, great. There's no reason to talk about the other ones. They happened so long ago. Good. I thought the answer was zero. I thought I was going to have to carry this pod.
You know what, Brett? You know what, though? It was very close to zero, but I felt so guilty over rescheduling the podcast because we had to reschedule because I was dealing with a child's health issue. So we had to reschedule and I was like, oh my God, I have this whole extra day. I should watch one episode for our Survivor podcast. So I did. I felt so horrible. But even like now this brings me to, so I watched this past week's episode. This season is bad. And this show is no longer good, in my opinion. And I just think we should be honest with ourselves. Okay? I think we should really take a good look at what this show is.
We podcast about Big Brother. Where do you find the nerve to say that Survivor isn't good?
Okay, Philip G says, I just log into Paramount Plus 10 minutes ago and skip to the end. Just use my method. Exactly. People just want to skip to the end. They just want to see, all right, who's getting voted off? Survivor's got a lot of issues this season. I think they're really struggling. Thank you, Philip. Philip G says, I didn't watch it and the show is bad. Direct quote from me, Danny. I'm just, what can I do? I can't lie. People would see through it. I am so used to being so radically honest that I can't lie and act like I'm enjoying this season just because we happen to have a podcast about the show. I can't do that. I look at my life and I look at how many hours I have a day to watch a show or a movie. It's not a lot. You think I'm going to spend 90 minutes of that time watching Survivor? When it's not that interesting and the cast isn't that good and they always do these stupid, long, like, side quests of, like, math problems. Like, no, I don't want to watch that. I would rather watch The Crown. I would rather watch The Crown with Elizabeth Debicki. So that's just my little rant. I did watch it. And, you know, really, Brett, you should think of that as a compliment to you. That is a testament for my love for Brett that I would even watch this past episode because I was like, I can't leave Brett to just talk about all three episodes by himself.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm not, like, feeling emotionally like this is the best thing I've ever seen, but it's, I don't know, it's Survivor. It's something else to watch. It's better than Big Brother.
I think, again, this is Philip G in the chat. It's the 90-minute effect. It's too much. I agree.
Get your own podcast, Philip G.
Ali G, Philip G. They're all related. I totally agree. They're stretching it out, so they have to add all this shit. You really enjoyed that math challenge?
No. I have eaten in the last... I've always eaten in the last 8 hours. Like, that's just... I'm not, like, tired. I haven't been sleeping in the woods. I've been eating. I've been drinking. I looked at that thing And I'm like, I don't know how to, like, there's no way I would be able to do that in 3 minutes. And these people haven't, these people haven't eaten anything other than an eyeball in the last few weeks.
But it's also like, it's not interesting to watch three people or however many was to try to solve a math problem. What am I watching? Are you smarter than a fourth grader? Like, no, I, that's not why I want to watch Survivor, to watch people do math problems. Well,
see, sorry. Emily, like, completely disintegrate and be like, everyone thinks I'm really smart and good at math because I'm a financial analyst, but I just use spreadsheets.
A financial
Emily
analyst.
Is a star. Emily is a star. Having that woman go from top of the heap to like seeing her life shatter in her eyes, like every episode, is pretty good TV for me.
I guess.
I mean, whatever. I'm not here to talk about Emily. I'm not here to talk about Julie. You know, there's a person named Julie on this show.
I do. And you know why? Because I was like, Julie is a Bready All-Star.
She is. She fits the mold of a Bready All-Star. But I don't know. I don't think she's like very good at this. I think she's going to get relatively far in the game and not get a single vote. Like, I think she actually had a really interesting opportunity this week to actually kind of coalesce a coalition against D and sort of like begin to flip things on. Like, she's part of this power alliance that's her, Drew, Austin, and D. And everyone, like, this is kind of, we're getting to this point where everyone's like, man, D's pretty good at Survivor. Everyone likes her. So there's a little, I felt Julie could have done that. And there were, you see that kind of is run past her a little bit. Julie is feeling that D is kind of controlling stuff, even in her alliance, and that she's the odd person out. Then flip it. Then flip that shit. And she doesn't, because as I wrote my notes, I think she's kind of stupid.
I just don't understand. And to be fair, I only watched this week's episode. I didn't watch the last two. I watched this week's episode and I was like, oh, Caleb's gone. Oh, thank you so much. Joy says my soda is chef's kiss. Thank you so much. Oh my God,
very
Uniqlo.
It's very Billy Crystal.
It is. You're so right.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I mean,
can I just briefly say, can I just briefly talk about what has happened? And hey, Julie, I have something that I have a topic that I desperately need to talk about regarding Survivor. But,
yes.
And it ties to Big Brother as well.
Okay.
But just briefly, Sifu, Caleb, and Kelly have all been evicted from the island.
Yeah, Sifu was the last one I saw. No, I watched the one where Sifu was gone.
Caleb was gone in that episode as well.
Oh, okay. Then I
did. It was a double tribal.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't because I know you saw it because I explained that episode to you, I think, when we had sushi like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, so yeah, you see, it's been a while since I've had an interest in Survivor. I just like the show. Even the moments. Oh, wait, was there something else? You were like on a tear. You were like going to go on a tear.
No, you can talk. I have a real topic that I have like chambered ready to go, but I can dive into that at any time.
Well, even the parts with like Bruce having a sort of like existential crisis, which was narrated very well by Napoleon Dynamite. I thought that was like actually really good, insightful narration that he gave. What's that guy's name?
Drew.
Drew. I thought that was really good of describing how like Bruce is at a potential turning point. Like he can either realize like the way you've been doing things is wrong, you are wrong in the situation and move forward, or live in your fantasy. Like there's reality and there's fantasy. I thought that was such a great way of describing things and like an interesting way of looking at Bruce. But even that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for me. I like that kind of character development or character introspection from these people we see. Because, like, that's the interesting part of Survivor is, like, you're on an island. Maybe your, like, baser instincts come out. Like, you're stabbing people in the back. You're strategizing. You're conniving. Or, like, you're so loyal that it becomes a fault. Whatever. Like, that part is more interesting to me than, like, them going on a walk through the jungle to get to the puzzle.
I get you. No, challenge. I get you. Yeah, there's a bit much of that. There's a bit much of that. the thing I wanted to talk about is what you brought up. I want to talk about our friend Bruce's mental state. Mm. Bruce has been weird this season. Bruce has just been weird. Like, he comes on, Emily is like, fuck this guy. He's a returner. Fuck returners. He's like bossing everybody around. He's like, you're back on my season. And he was literally on his season for 12 hours. And he was like, had a massive concussion for three of them.
Yeah.
He's doing jokes. He's doing bits. He's doing noises. And then in this episode, well, Kelly is sent home the previous episode. And it's revealed to him, which is true, that Kelly is like, was his closest ally. But Kelly is like, everything everyone else says about Bruce is what Kelly was thinking as well, which is like, man, this guy's like, doesn't shut the hell up. And he's like a bit annoying and he's like overbearing. He just like talks to people like he's their dad and their drill sergeant and their like cool cousin or whatever. And it's like a weird mix. It's like, are you trying to be a leader? Are you trying to be like my friend? What is it? And Bruce obviously goes in this kind of spiral where he's thinking about this and how much it affects him. He grew up in the foster system. He never knew a home. His home is his family now. Needless to say, Bruce is the cringe king of Survivor this season. Uh-huh. And you know who his game is reminding me of? Because he just keeps going to the end. He keeps winning challenges. He won two immunities in a row. You know who that reminds me of? The cringe queen of BB25, aka the whiteboard queen of BB25. Bruce is the Bowie Jane of Survivor 45. He's going to make it to the end, probably not win. And you know what? I kind of was like, I don't know how I feel about Bruce. Now that I think of Bruce as just like a Bowie Jane incarnate, like a Bowie Jane stereotype, Brucey Jane, yes. Like Commedia dell'arte, there's like all these different archetypes that people play. Mm-hmm. There's the buffoon, there's the fool, there's the this, the there's the that, there's the Bowie Jane archetype. Bruce is fulfilling the Bowie Jane archetype, and now this is officially, because it is a Bowie Jane podcast, this is a Bruce podcast.
Yeah, and listen, Bruce. Yeah, he's got the goods. I mean, he doesn't have the social goods, but he's got the comforting goods. So, I don't know. I don't think we're going to get rid of him for a while.
Did Bowie have the social goods? Everyone was like, don't even nominate her because, like, we can't even explain it to her. It would be so much. We literally are in this house with nothing to do, no phones, no TV, and to even explain to Bowie that she's nominated or whatever is going to be so much work, and we just don't want to deal with it. Yeah. That's social. I think that's where people are at with Bruce.
I think you might be right. I think that's a good comparison. He's a little more tragic to me than Bowie Jane. Bowie Jane was not tragic. I mean, I guess the way people thought of her was tragic, but like when she was out of the house, everyone being a hater. But other than that, I think she's like actually doing fine. I think Bruce is going to have like a midlife crisis once he.
Oh, speaking of.
He might be having it currently.
Speaking of, also, I forgot to mention this. Bruce, 47 years old. Bowie Jane, 46 years old.
So close. Yeah, so true.
I'm just saying, like, they're in the same.
Yeah.
Maybe they're in the same kind of cohort. Dimension.
Age cohort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gen Xers.
Oh my God.
People who saw The Matrix cohort. When they were in their 20s.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Who else is on Survivor that's interesting? Are you sad that Kendra's gone?
I thought she was a good character this year. I thought she was. But she kind of played the end of it. Like, it wasn't surprising. People were on, I don't know, somewhere were like, what a blindside this week. It's like, no. It was like kind of clear it was going
to
be her.
Nothing's a blind side to me.
Yeah.
Because I have no expectations of this show. But I also don't know how
you're blindsided to learn that people, to learn their names. You're like, oh shit. It's episode 8.
And his name is
there's
Jake.
There's a guy named Jake on the show.
It's true. But I just don't understand.
What's like, Napoleon Dynamite's name? It is not the actor who played Napoleon Dynamite.
I'm just like, I don't think I'm stupid, but like, I don't understand how I
think you are.
I don't think, how do people feel blindsided? How does the audience of like mostly, other than Hey Julie listeners who are obviously above average intelligence, like the rest
and attractiveness.
The rest of the audience watching Survivor, I would imagine are of average intelligence. And yet everyone's like, oh, this is a blindside. How do you know? How do you know from this show that this is a blindside? I have no insight gleaned from this show. Like, it's a, like nothing. It's not surprising. It's like every vote. I'm like, yeah, OK, sure. Sure.
No, like it's a blindside if someone unexpected goes home or someone who like thinks they're leading a coalition is actually being.
Yeah.
Sent home. But that didn't happen. I mean, Kendra was a good character.
Great character. You know,
she had good. And I mean, I think we still got a lot of good characters this year. Every time someone goes home, like, I'm like, eh, okay. Well, I mean,
oh,
it's like I Kelly. Need, it's like, okay, you know, you seem like a nice person. But like, I don't know, you know.
Can I get a wellness check? Because I haven't watched the other two episodes. Has Jake collapsed anymore? Is he good? How's his health?
I think it's all right. Well, his game is somewhat collapsed. But I don't know. His game, yeah, but I think he's fine physically. But yeah,
there hasn't been another incident.
We've yet to have another incident. And Kelly, the nurse, is no longer there. So
that's good. And in the episodes I missed, did Austin get his sandwich or no?
No, but he did send Kelly home, so now he has a full-on immunity idol. There's so much math going on. Speaking of math, like just the math of like who's got idols and stuff. I think Austin has two idols.
There's no rhyme or reason to this show. And then they lose their votes, and then it's like I don't know how they decide. They're like we have to flush the idol. This is the immunity where we're going to the tribal council where we're going to flush the idol. I'm like, there's so many idols. What are you talking about? And you don't have a vote. Like, how are you actually going to do this? The strategy that they're coming up with, I just don't know how they do it. Especially, yeah, like you said, when they're on empty bellies and they're sunburned.
Having a sunburn is like, it's just like a very annoying.
It's so annoying. It's so
frustrating. Do you think they get sunscreen?
Well, the other question I had is like, do they have to wearing glasses, is that like part of their character where they have to wear glasses? Like, could they not switch to contacts? Or if you wear contacts, you have to wear glasses? Because like, how are you going to put them in when your hands are all salty from the sea?
I mean, I would imagine you've got to be like a glasses girly there. Like you got to wash your hands. You got to have this.
You know,
solution.
I wear glasses, right? I would have to wear glasses.
No. Do you wear contacts?
Yeah. I think it would just really ruin my, like, cause that's not the image I'm trying to project, you know?
Sure. Speaking of images you want to project, there was a little bit of, I wanted to check in with something, a topic that you have discussed openly. Thank you for sharing this topic on the podcast. There was a little bit of like, just a tiny dash of like, is Austin and Dee a thing? Like a romantic thing? Mm. A couple of like looks. And then someone else said like, oh, I hope they like get married or whatever, but I want to vote Dee out.
Yeah, yeah.
Danielle, as you've experienced this recently, Austin and Dee are at a bar.
Yeah.
Together. They order you a drink and they say, hey, we like your vibe. Mm-hmm. What do you do, Danny?
Do you think they're that kind of couple? They will be that kind of couple?
I think they're like the preacher, the preacher's wife who you met at the gym the other week.
I know. I see them constantly.
Now are they just like...
It's not like they're out of my life. Like they're one day they might listen to this podcast, to be honest. Like they might become my friends. And I'm gonna have to tell them, hey, I thought you guys were swingers when we first met. What would I think? I would be so complimented. I'm getting to like an age, perhaps a maturity. I don't know, where as a woman, I'm actually just very complimented. I would be so honored. I would say no. I don't think I'd be into it, but I think I'd be very honored. What about you?
I'd be into it.
Yeah, you would just go for it.
I would just go for it. Yeah.
Why not?
Not as many people are complimenting me in public about my looks, so I got to take it where, like, I can get it.
But it's not. It's like the vibe, right? It's like when you get the vibe. When I was younger, I think it's like as a young woman, you're like, oh, because you just think everyone's a creep, right? Or it's like it makes you uncomfortable. Yeah. But now that I'm older, I'm like, actually, I love this. I'm happy with it.
I was discussing this with friends last night as well as last weekend. How do you – we're going to crazy town now. How do you
– We have to because I only watched one episode.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, Kendrick goes home. Also, D knows about – I don't know where this came from, but I just wrote the words D knows about Pokemon.
Pokimane, the live streamer, or Pokemon?
Pokemon. Got to catch them all.
Like Pikachu.
Pikachu.
Charizard.
Yeah, didn't she say something about it? She said something about Charizard in the tribal council, right?
Yeah, I think she did. Yeah, I think you're right. But it did not.
D went from being the most attractive castaway to like the most attractive castaway like times 1,000.
Because ever.
She's like, yeah, when you evolve the Bulbasaur, I'm like, fuck yeah. Hell yeah. How do you talk? Okay, I'm going back. So you were talking about like people approaching you, yes, giving you compliments, but not seeming like a creep. How do people talk to people in public? I was thinking about this last week. Like, how does a group of non-creepy men approach women without being creepy?
So it's a group? They all have
good. There's a group of guys. They're all young and single.
That's your first mistake.
That's the issue. They need to have women with the group, I guess. That's the issue. Yeah.
Yeah. It just. I think it's immediately predatory if it's a group of men descending upon you like a pack.
Oh, not on a single person. I'm not saying like four guys are like going up to one. Yeah. I'm just like saying in general.
Yeah, I think you have to elect, you have to, it's like having a committee and you have to assess the pros and cons of each part of your committee. So one of them is going to be the speaker. That would, I would guess, I haven't met a lot of Brett's other friends, but I'm guessing you would be the charming one who would go talk to people.
I'm not the card charm. This made me laugh out loud. Joy True says, do not answer, do not.
Just don't do it.
Depends.
But no, you have to be able to talk to people.
I was making some friends in the bathroom line last night.
You have to, but here's the other thing though. You have to elect what?
I said I was making some friends in the bathroom line last night.
Oh yeah, the club.
Yeah.
I think you have to elect in your group of men, you have to elect someone who is charming and funny, but also not scary. Like by that I mean not like not threatening at all.
Yeah, so you need to have like a bard.
He's got to be like a nice little guy.
You got to be a nice little guy, yeah.
Like, remember in White Lotus season 2? The head gay guy who's tiny.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if he was nice, that's who you want to send to like.
And he was not trying to kill Coolidge. Yeah.
Yeah, he was actually trying to kill Coolidge. But if he was nice, yeah, that's the kind of like a nice, tiny little stylish guy.
Remember when White Lotus was a thing? Everyone was all about it.
I'm excited for it to come back. It's coming back. It'll be back.
I think next year. And when I say next year, I'm including this year as the year 2024. I do not believe it's coming back until 2025.
A lot of stuff's not coming until 2025. I got to tell you. They decided, you know what? Push it a whole other year. Dune 2, forget about it.
What? Dune 2 is not till 25?
Yeah,
I thought it was April.
Oh, I thought 2025.
Goldie has some thoughts about the Dune 2 like release.
Three floors below me, and yeah, you could hear her. She's feeling great, if anyone was worried.
they're Wonka-ing Mean Girls.
I saw, well, you sent me a tweet that was like describing this. Yeah, I saw. But now they released a new Mean Girls that actually has music, that has music in it. I don't know if I'm going to see either of them.
Why would anyone see Wonka? It looks horrible.
True.
And who is it for? Nobody.
True.
Like children, I guess. But like they don't have any connections to the Gene Wilder movie. Do kids watch that?
Yeah, yeah. Kids watch that. I watched that as a child.
You're not a child. You're an adult woman. You're a middle-aged woman.
You're 40. I saw it when I was a kid, though. When I was a kid, I liked it.
But do kids now watch Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
Yes.
Okay.
Chocolate factories are always going to be a source of delight for children.
For kids. Do kids even like chocolate anymore? Are they like...
Oh, yeah. They love it. And Mean Girls. My thing about Mean Girls is like, how am I supposed to miss you if you never go away? Mean Girls has never left the zeitgeist.
I watched like an hour of Mean Girls last night. They have a commercial campaign, the entire holiday commercial campaign for Walmart that is multiple different ads is the cast of Mean Girls minus Regina George.
Yeah, because Rachel McAdams is like, no, I'm good.
I was in Spotlight. Spotlight. Yeah. I was in Spotlight. I don't need to be selling big screen TVs.
Rachel McAdams has always been so good about saying, no, thank you. Like, I'm good.
I'm surprised Seyfried is doing it. Because she's like an actress. She's like, did she win an Emmy for the draw? Elizabeth Holmes? Chabert is probably doing like Hallmark movies. She does like Hallmark movies. The check had to be big. Shit. Yeah.
The check was juicy.
Lohan, anything to get out of house arrest, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, happy for them. They look good. Listen, they got to do what they got to do.
You're right.
But I don't care about this movie.
You're right. I mean, exactly. Like who wants to see it again when the other one is fine?
Exactly. Yeah, it's not like the other one aged poorly. It's still really good. So why?
And when Tina Fey and Tim Meadows are reprising their roles and look roughly the same.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They look better than they did. They look better. Tina Fey is goals. You know what? I actually watched Haunting in Venice. Yeah. Oh. Which she is in. She does like real acting in it.
Oh, I know. I saw the trailer for this movie in theaters and I'm like, is Tina Fey in a spooky Hercule Poirot movie as like the second lead? What the fuck? Why is Tina Fey in a movie with Kenneth Branagh? I don't know, but you saw it. Tell me about it. We're in the movie review section of the podcast.
Let me tell you, Kenneth Branagh can still get it.
He can. Oh, yeah.
I was trying to find a way to make that work. Kenneth Branagh, I mean, famously cheated on Emma Thompson. We don't like that. Who would cheat on Emma Thompson? An idiot. But
Alan Rickman.
No. Oh, yeah. In Love Actually.
he got what was coming to him.
Yeah. But I did enjoy it. It was beautifully shot. It's just like Kenneth Branagh just stumbled into like this fucking money pit where he's like, oh, yeah, there's endless supply. Like there's all these Hercule Poirot stories. He can just keep churning this shit out. And he is such a good director. Like he's an incredible director. Yeah. And he's a great, great, great actor. So, like, yeah, keep writing him the check so he can keep making these little slop buckets. Like, it's always the same thing.
I know, like, I saw the trailer for this one, and I'm like, we're still doing this?
Yes.
Marvel's on the respirator. They're, like, bringing in a fucking preacher to read Marvel, like, his last rites. Like, you know, franchises aren't there anymore. And Kenny is out there, and he's like, I'm making more detective movies.
Kenny B.
Liz Lemon is in this one.
Yeah. I mean, he cycles through all these actors, gives them a little juicy little part. I mean, it's a great gig.
And didn't the second one bomb because they were like, oh, yeah, I'm, what's his name? Gal Gadot and Armie Hammer. In this. People who were liked by society when we started making this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was a flop. It was all the champagne to fill the Nile.
It's weird that we canceled Army for justifiable things. Uh-huh. And then we canceled Gal for like being in the Imagine video.
Well, They're equally
undesirable in Hollywood for two completely separate reasons.
Well, and that's
because we treat women differently.
At the risk of running. Okay, but I think that people actually dislike her. At the risk of bringing up a very fraught topic.
No, do not. No, this was, I'm talking about Death of the Nile. I'm not talking about, we're not doing this here. Because I'll have our jobs tomorrow, Danielle.
Yeah, exactly. I would much prefer to not. Okay. Let's talk about some other stuff I've watched.
Good.
I have a list. Oh, wait. You know what? There's two things that we both have watched. Well, I hope you're caught. Are you caught up on The Curse?
Oh, yeah. Well, I haven't seen this weekend's episode.
Okay. So let's all do a little intro dive onto a show called The Curse, which I don't know. Is it on Showtime in the States?
It is on Showtime in the States and whatever packages that it's associated with.
It's Nathan Fielder, Emma Stone, Benny Safdie. And the log line was like a home improvement couple filming an HGTV-esque show gets cursed or something like that.
Yeah.
This show is so interesting. It's very intriguing is what I would say. It's not the comfiest show to watch. My husband was saying he looked at audience reviews of it on Rotten Tomatoes, and apparently it's at 20%.
People are stupid.
Hate it.
Yeah. People are stupid. People want to watch A Haunting in Venice. People want to watch the Poirot. This shit. This is The Curse. Is good. The Curse is really good. The Curse is one of the most cutting. Oh my gosh. The Curse is one of the most.
Joy, we're laughing at your comment.
Cutting, satires of progressive millennialism, progressive values that I've ever seen. Of just let's try and gentrify, stop gentrifying a community by gentrifying it with a coffee shop. And kind of millennial chic aesthetic of locally sourced coffee. And we're rehabilitating the community and saying the word community a lot, but and not sustainability. Really knowing what it means.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
This is this is going to make you if you think you're a little, you support these ideas, you're going to be I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I think it might be a little before its time in that I think we're going to go back and think of this show and be it reminds me of The Curse in this way for a lot of shifting culture. I think the show is at the very beginning of this culture and it's because Nathan Fielder is so smart. Benny Safdie's really smart. Emma Stone is so good in this show. She's an exec producer too.
She's
it. Yeah, I know. She's smart too. I love Emma Stone, but she's great in it. But yeah, I think it's as we evolve culturally more and we look back on the things that millennials probably were at first in good faith, but as we look at it more critically, we're going to be oh yeah, it's The Curse. That's what I think. I think it's very smart.
Yeah. I mean, I think a very... a very savage critique of millennial values and stuff. And it's interesting now because it's even we talked about Mean Girls is Mean Girls is a very millennial high school movie. It came out while you and I were in high school.
Yeah.
I think it's, one of these movies Mean Girls and Orange County, I think are the two most accurate movies about high school life,
Orange County.
Orange County is great. Not go to high school with that was with Colin Hanks and Jack Black.
Isn't Tom Green in it?
No, I think that's Freddie Got Fingered.
Oh, okay.
Which is not a good movie. Anyways, I think as the generation gets older and is in different stages of their life, this is about these home flipper people who are trying to have a kid and they're also trying to flip homes sustainably and reinvigorate a poorer neighborhood in New Mexico and stuff. And I think it is just a really brutal critique of that kind of these kinds of values and aesthetics that are now now that this generation is in their third, mid 30s, early 40s or whatever, and their priorities have shifted to buying homes and having children and stuff. It more so than any article about millennials eat too much avocado toast. Watch the fucking curse, and you're gonna be like, man, like these people are completely fucked, and like
they got us.
They got us good. Yeah. They got us bad, and they got us good.
Yeah, it's just a very like, it's a show where you're just not. Like, it keeps me on my toes. I'm not sure where it's going next. There's like this sense of sort of dread and like discomfort while watching it that I really like.
Yeah. And there's this element of what's so great about it is that it really is this great combination of like the three talents that are there. You have Safdie, who's such a good filmmaker and can make something, to your point, really have this sense of dread. Even if it's just people standing in a parking lot talking to each other, mm-hmm. you're like, oh my God. Or people driving in a car together. Oh my God. There's this scene where Safdie's character is on a date with this woman. And he sort of reveals in the date that he's like been arrested for having a DUI and he's driving her home. And he is like breathalyzing himself as he's driving and realizing that he's over the limit, but he's like trying to play it off in a cool and like responsible way. It's horrifying. It's amazing.
It's really good. Yeah.
And Emma Stone is obviously like top actress of her generation. And
she really is. She really is.
And then you have Fielder, who's like so good at interacting with non-actors, because like that's what his previous shows have been about. He really excels at that. And what's so great about the show is, other than these three, and I think Corbin Burnson plays her father, he's only been in one episode so far, there's just a lot of like regular ass people in there, and that's mm-hmm. what's also
well there's funny also the guy who plays the little girl's dad is I'm the Captain Now.
Oh, that's I'm the Captain Now. I mean, okay, well, I've only seen the first two episodes.
Oscar, he's like barely nominee.
Okay. I am the Captain. I'm the Captain Now. And, you know, there's a sequence in the second one where Fielder has to, he's trying to like hack into someone's computer, and he has to do it in the most awkward way possible. And it's almost kind of filmed almost like security camera style of, it's really reminiscent of some of the bits he does on The Rehearsal and on Nathan For You, but we've now ported it into an actual like prestige drama dressing and in the plot of a prestige drama fictional show. And that works out well too, because this guy is such a weirdo, and it shows you the lengths to which he would go to do some of the things that he's trying to do. I love it. I love this show a lot. It's obviously not for, it's not for the regular people. It's not for regular people. This is
for special people.
It's for smart people.
It's so good. Okay, the other thing that we both watched, speaking of stuff for special people, is a film by a very special director, David Finchie. He said, out with the Mank, in with the killer, starring Michael Fassbender, available to watch on Netflix. Did you love?
I did. I thought this movie was great.
So in a nutshell, this movie's about Michael Fassbender plays a contract killer, and I mean, I don't think it's too spoilery to say, like, he has a kill go wrong, and then he has to go kind of, like, on a revenge spree. But he's, like, a very thoughtful... I mean, so much of this movie depends on voiceover, which is a tough thing for a movie to depend on. But he kills it. He does a great job.
Yeah. Well, it's good. It's good voiceover. Voiceover usually is, like, bad because it's just, like, a person saying, like, what we're seeing in the movie or mm-hmm. whatever. Or just, like, saying... The voiceover in this film is like kind of ridiculous and kind of like non sequiturs to what is happening in the film. And you get into a groove with it, especially like the first 20 minutes of this movie is like all voiceover while he's just doing other stuff. And it's mm-hmm. just like, there's a rhythm to it. There's a drip to it where he just like, he says a fact about the world and then he says another thing. And he's like doing yoga in the middle, and he's like going to McDonald's, or he's like stalking the person that he's trying to, you know, kill on his contract. And all of these things are like, what's so silly about this movie is like 75% of it is cool shit with Michael Fassbender VO of him just like saying things that would be in a Fight Club movie or like in Fight Club, yeah. just like fucked up fact about the world. Uh-huh. And you're like, this is kind of stupid, but honestly, I'm kind of just like really in a rhythm with this. And it's a vibe. Like, it's a vibe. It's really yeah. good. And it's just, it's short and sweet and like it gets to the point and, I really liked it. I've been thinking about it a lot. I don't know kind of what to do with it in my mind just because so much of this movie is just like this guy just like reading these kind of like or just saying these sort of like Jordan Peterson-esque facts about the mm-hmm. world of like you got to go and kill him and not everyone's strong enough to be a man in this world yeah. kind of stuff like that. And I don't know, but it works though. It's so good.
It worked. No, it's so good. And yeah, I don't know if there's like that much more to it, or maybe there will. It's sort of, maybe it is like the curse where like I'll look back and I'll be like, oh yeah, it reminds me of the killer. You know, it's not like Social Network. It's not like Gone Girl. Like it's not top Fincher for me, but it was like, it felt like a return to form after Mank.
Those movies are these really, really like complexly wound dramas that have like a lot of stuff going on in them. And this is like, this is truly a character study. Yeah. Like you spend 80% of this movie just like this guy just like saying things to you about his worldview through the narration while he kind of just like sits in cars and like waits for people to get home.
And wears bucket hats.
And wears, oh my God, so many bucket hats.
And little zip ups.
My really close friend, Tessa, explained this to me last night, which is that this is only the second movie. It makes sense. This is only the second Fincher movie that's for boys. And all these, and it's for boys. You can like it if you're a girl, obviously. She has not seen Mank. I explained to her last night at the bar. I was like,
what about the game?
Mank is dank. All of these movies are for girls, including Fight Club is the most for girls, except for Seven. Seven is a boys movie, and this is a boys movie. It's just boys.
What about Zodiac? Boy
facts. I don't know. I'm gonna text her.
I think
later.
This theory is it needs a little more. Like, yeah.
I need a full breakdown. Maybe that'll be a podcast. Maybe next time.
Yeah, have her on.
Yeah, I'll have her. Again, now I won't have you on.
I'm cut.
Yeah.
Wow. The real killer was Brett all along.
I really Holy liked moly. It. I mean, and it's also like, you know, 145 or something like that. Hell yeah. It's on Netflix. Go watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's tight.
I saw another movie. Yeah. Do you want to talk?
No, you talk.
I saw Dream Scenario with the God, Nicolas Cage.
I've been seeing so many ads for this.
I won't talk about much about it other than it was really good. I really liked it. I thought it was excellent. I think playing a schlub is actually one of Cage's greatest strengths, and that he should not be required to be doing like wacky stuff all the time. Like I think when he plays kind of like awkward, schlubby Charlie Kaufman-esque characters, I just mainly mean this because Adaptation is one of my right. favorite movies. It's kind of like a return to his form and an Adaptation for him. But he also gets to do a bunch of weird stuff because there's all this kind of like dream. There's all these like dream sequences in the film where he gets to do weird Cage stuff. And then he gets to do like subtle, grounded Cage stuff. I think it's like the best use of him as an actor. Like it understands both sides of him very well. I kind of think this movie is going to kind of like come and go and be forgotten. But I'm like, this is the Cage performance. Like, I think he should be nominated for an Oscar. That's an Oscar for this film.
But all of his recent movies feel that way, where it's like they come and everyone's like, wow, this is a great Cage performance. This is such a unique film. He's working with like this indie director. It's probably A24 or A24 adjacent. Yeah. Like it's, and then they go and it's just like, he just does so many of them. It's kind of hard to keep track. That's why, even though I keep getting inundated with ads for this one, I'm sort of like, what's the difference between this and Pig? What's the difference between this and the one with our girl? What's her name? The girl from Dear Leslie. What's her name? That actress.
Oh, gosh. She's in everything. She's unrecognizable in
Julie.
Anything.
Julie. I think her name is Julie.
From Leslie? Anyway. No. Annalise Scarborough. No.
Yeah. Scarborough. Julie Scarborough. Wait, speaking of Julie, I watched this movie called The Royal Hotel with Julia Garner. And you know Julia Garner?
Andrea Riseborough.
Andrea Riseborough. Julie Scarborough.
And Julie was not right. What did you watch?
This movie called The Royal Hotel with Julia Garner. Do you know Julia Garner?
Oh, do I ever know Julia Garner?
Julia Garner. She's so fab.
She is. Julia Garner is, she's one of the lead, she's like the third lead of Ozark, a show which is good, not great. And she has a very wild accent in it. Well, Julia Garner is in two seasons, I believe, of The Americans. And she's incredible. She is so good. And I just got to say, Americans, I actually started rewatching The Americans like the other day. The Americans is one of my favorite shows. And she is so good. And she's like quite young in it. And like, that's the point, because they're like these spies who have to Matthew Reese and what's her face?
Carrie Russell.
Carrie Russell. Talk about, hey, we like your vibe across the bar. Sign me up.
Yeah, in Brooklyn.
they're these spies and they have to kind of do a lot of things to like do their spy work. And a lot of it is like seducing other people. Mm. And there's like a two season arc of this show where Matthew Reese has to like seduce Julia Garner, but she's like 15 in it. And he's she's like the same age as his daughter. And so like, that's kind of the thing that's going on, is like, he has to do this for his mission. But like at the end of the night, he like comes home and he like has a daughter that's like the same age as the person that he has like this kind of semi-romantic relationship with. And
I love the writer who thought that up.
Garner is incredible as this young girl.
I love when writers are like, oh yeah, he has to do it. He's got to hook up with this hot 16-year-old. It's his mission. He has to. did you ever see The Age of Adeline? I love whoever wrote that too. It's like, oh, she just has this huge problem. She stays young and hot forever. It's like so tough. It's so hard. Well, anyway, this movie, The Royal Hotel. Pardon?
Mine is good though.
What's yours?
The Americans.
Oh, yeah. The Americans. Yeah. I watched the first season. I didn't continue after that. But anyway, Julia Garner, is she Russian in The Americans?
No, she's American.
Oh, she's American. Do you know what she is actually in real life?
British?
Wouldn't you think?
Because she's so good at acting?
Yeah. Or you think maybe American? She's Australian.
Isn't she American?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Well, you got me confused. She's like, you know who she is? I'm like, well, she must be British now, I guess.
But I thought for sure she was British. And then I was like, well, maybe she's Australian, because this movie, The Royal Hotel, is set in like the outback. And so I thought, oh, she's like doing one for the country. This is like Australian content, whatever.
Jacob Elordi.
Yeah, but she is. Yeah, exactly. She's friends with him. She is so American. She is such a great actress. Like, I don't think, usually actors who are American aren't that good. She's really so good. She's one to watch out for.
She's been around. She's here. She's, the call is coming from inside the house.
She needs like one more little, she needs like a big breakthrough. I watched the first episode of Murder at the End of the World.
Oh yeah, how was that? I want to watch it. I haven't gotten to it yet.
Are you familiar with Britt
Marling? I have not watched the OA, and I will not watch the OA.
Okay, I couldn't tell if like maybe Britt was like a Brady All-Star or not, because
it's like really, I know exactly where you're going with this and like what you're trying to describe. It's really borderline for me, and maybe I should watch the OA, but like, between like a young, attractive, like theater artiste, it's like, it's either like Brady All-Star, Brady's in love with her, or like Brady thinks it's like totally
It's a bit much.
It's a bit much, yeah.
Well, so that's the thing. If people aren't aware, Britt Marling was like, much like Emily on Survivor, a financial analyst. Like, she was like big in the investment banker world. Shit. And then she decided, you know what? I'm a fucking artist and I'm gorgeous. So I'm going to go write a movie and then have it get made. And because she is gorgeous and brilliant, people were like, yeah, give her money. Like, let her make all these movies. All her, everything she does is slow as hell and involves like sort of sci-fi in a way. Like, she had this one movie that I saw called Another Earth, which is basically exactly as the title is. There's another Earth and you can go there. Like, you can like win a trip to go to another Earth.
I wanted to see
that
movie. I never saw it. Yeah.
It's great. It's great. And it stars also Tom Cruise's cousin. But he's like the male lead, Tom Cruise's cousin. It's really good. But then she had the OA. She had like this, these other movies. And she always is in them as sort of like a cultish leader or like a damaged soul. She's a good actress. But this movie, this new show, A Murder at the End of the World, is just like so boring, which is Britt Marling's thing. Her thing is like, it's boring and then something weird happens. But the weird thing didn't happen yet in the pilot. And so you're kind of like,
the murder
did
not happen?
No, the murder happens. But okay. Like, the murder's not
they're
that
not
interesting.
You're not at the end of the world yet.
No, you're in the end of the world.
Oh, okay, so what's your fucking problem, Danielle?
And it also, the male lead in it is Clive Owen.
Clive.
And we needed more Clive. Let me just tell you.
Oh,
Clive and Britt are married in it. But so, yeah, Britt, I respect her. I love that she's just like out there. People just keep giving her money and are like, yeah, sure. Make another show for us. I love it. So I don't know. I don't think I'm going to watch the second episode. It's a little too boring.
There was a lot. I heard there was a lot of interpretive dance in the OA. I was not interested. Can I just be honest? Mm-hmm. Can I be honest on my own podcast?
If not here, where?
Where? Yeah. I love the arts. I love the arts.
Hmm.
I go see the arts. I go see performing arts.
You support the arts.
I support the arts. I am an artist, as you guys are consuming. This is my art right now. It is wild because I love the arts. I support the arts. I go to see live theater. I wanted to go see, I mean, I still can. I'm signing up on the app to see Inherit the Wind starring Alfred Molina at the Pasadena Playhouse. I love the arts.
Also known as Octopussy from Spider-Man. What's that guy's name in Spider-Man?
Oh, Dr. Octopus. Yeah. Philip G says, Blue Man Group does not count. This is a separate fucking thing. Blue Man Group is incredible. I've seen Blue Man Group multiple times. Blue Man Group is so good. If you shit on the Blue Man Group, Philip G, I just know you're a hater and you've never seen the Blue Man Group other than like they do like funny commercials or whatever. The Blue Man Group live show is incredible. It's incredible.
Twice.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who've given me the look, listen, the Blue Man Group wanted me. For sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, you got the blue kiss on the cheek, and in the after show when they take pictures with everybody.
I could have exactly.
Oh yeah. Okay. All this being said, I'm a consumer of the arts. I pay money to see them. Dance sucks. Dance sucks. Like, dancing is fine if there's like good choreography, like in a musical or in something. Great, but like a dance alone sucks. It's like, it's like boring, and it's like I just don't feel anything. And like, people think so much about like this like choreography and this, and they're just like, oh, my heart or like whatever. It's just like Jesus Christ, like this is this is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You can move your body like that, great. You want to dance in West Side Story. You want to have a big tap dance number and anything goes and it's good. Moulin Rouge, good.
Yeah.
But like a dance recital, like a ballet thing.
Yeah.
No. I saw some dance thing and like, sorry, police are driving by. Oh, maybe they're coming to arrest me because of my stupid dance takes.
Brett is against dance. Get him.
I saw some dance ballet thing. It was a very big, you know, theater or whatever. Came to L.A. Person I was with was like crying at the end because of how beautiful and touching it was. And I was just like, I just saw people dancing. Like,
yeah. Whatever. You said, whatever. Whatever. You said, let's go get a hot dog. Whatever. I'm hungry. You wanted to leave at intermission.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm kind of similar, except if the music, you know, like, I love a classic ballet. I love a little Nutcracker. I love a little Swan Lake. There's nothing wrong with that.
White Swan, Black Swan.
Yeah, exactly. Come on.
Name one other ballet.
Giselle.
That's not real.
Yeah, it is. No. Yeah, those are the classics. So what? I would never say I'm a connoisseur. I'm not. But I do think it's amazing. And I think it's like athletic, you know, they're athletes.
I'm not saying that they're not talented. Like, obviously, they're incredibly talented. I could never do that. But I just don't think it's like an interesting art form in the slightest. I think it's like, you know, if it's a musical or whatever and there's a good dance number, that's great. Yeah, but just with nothing else, like, just you can't tell me this is like really worth anything. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I was a theater major. I was a theater major in college, and we had a theater and dance department. And I was in the same department as and literally half of the people were working on theater, but probably more than half were working on theater, you know, plays, stuff like that. Drama, people relating to each other, writing, directing, staging, lighting, sound, this. And the other people were just like
Hopping around.
And it's like, I could be so close to you.
Yeah.
I share the same exact passion with you. Yet the thing you do, I think, is completely worthless.
Well, on that note, Philip G. asks, y'all, I think I hear the jingle jangling of reindeer games coming. Can you hear it? I do hear it. It's right down Santa Claus Lane.
I'm going to
give it a try.
Yeah, I'll go
yeah, well,
a
December
shot.
Is this week. December is this week. I think we should look at some other questions and comments.
Yeah, we have a bunch. What kind of, from 306 in Discord, what kind of things would be in the Hey Julie auction? Personally, I'd go in for a parking lot ghost kitchen Wendy's Baconator with Ding Dong Dandy.
Well, that you're in luck. That would definitely, that's the only way you can get Wendy's in Canada. So
Do like 306 things we're auctioning off like experiences with us. That's rich.
What would other experiences be? Definitely not going to the ballet with Brett.
That would be a good one because you could hear me bitch about it during intermission.
Yeah, live bitching. That would be an experience for both of us. A bag of Lay's to put the chips on your head.
Yeah.
What are other, I mean, that's a really good question.
Yeah, we don't have lots of props. I was thinking this could be more like props, but.
Props. You could a link to buy the same ring light that Brett suggested I buy for my camera.
the Eero Wi-Fi extender for the bathroom. How's it working up there?
Well, don't you think it's working great?
I think everything's working great. I had a sense, Danielle, and we can talk this out. Were you a little bit grumpy that I was like, I made you buy like a $300 Wi-Fi boosting thing? I made you smuggle it across international borders?
I wasn't grumpy about buying it because like ultimately I do want to have good internet up here.
Yeah.
So I wasn't grumpy about that. I was more grumpy about like, I was grumpy at the situation of my internet not being good up here in the first place. Because that's I specifically you. Had yeah. like, I think anyone would be grumpy if you specifically had the fucking Wi-Fi guy over to set up the whole Wi-Fi system specifically for the internet to be good up here. And then it didn't work.
It didn't. It wasn't.
That grumpy. Made me very grumpy.
That's a grumpy experience. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sorry if you caught astray from that grumpiness.
Well, I just was like, I mean, I was calling your office, the bathroom and all this stuff. I didn't think I was personally helping. I was adding fuel to the fire.
Yeah, you were.
Pisky says, warning, AmeriCorps. Question for Brett. Cranberry sauce, chunky or smooth? Which shall christen the table?
AmeriCorps.
I got a hot answer for you. Fucking neither.
I don't like cranberry sauce either.
I don't know. I guess chunky. I guess like actual stuff, not the canned stuff. But like, I don't know. I don't want either. I had lobster on Thanksgiving. I went out to a restaurant and I had lobster and French fries for dinner. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to eat stuffing or cranberry sauce or green bean casserole, gross other stuff. The Raiders have class. And we say, we're not eating turkey for dinner. What are we? Turkeys? We don't eat turkeys. You're a turkey, not us. We go get steak.
We're lobsters.
Or lobster. So I don't know. I don't fuck around with like stupid sides or whatever. I would love some mac and cheese. I really want mac and cheese. We did not get mac and cheese at the table. I was gutted about that.
That's a good pairing with lobster too.
Oh, really, yeah. Well, they had a lobster mac and cheese on. I could have just ordered that.
Well, no, that's a waste of money. That's such a scam. That's such a scam. Jump for Joy says, will you be watching Squid Game The Challenge? Not going to lie. The original show is my comfort show. So I'm really glad. That's from Jump for Joy. I'm really glad Pizky said Squid Game is a comfort show because that was my exact reaction to this question as well. That is such a funny comfort show to have. It's so comforting to watch people lose their lives.
Yeah, no, I didn't really care for the original show. Like, I don't know. Like, I got like 3 or 4 episodes in and I'm like, oh, cool. So like,
yeah, I think we talked about it.
They get to the end of the episode and like they do another Squid Game and half of the people die. I kind of just got it and I wasn't really super compelled by it at all. I'm glad people liked it. I'm glad people are, you know, expanding their horizons, watching international cinema and television, and like there's a lot of great stuff coming out of Korea for movies and stuff. Like I'm glad people are taking in that and feeling more comfortable watching something that's like full of subtitles or whatever. But I didn't personally think it was like that great of a show. So I will not be watching Squid Game The Challenge.
I feel the way about Squid Game The Challenge the way I currently feel about Survivor, which is that
it's a show that is on.
I just like have so little time to watch a show. Am I really going to spend it watching Squid Game The Challenge? Unless it's the reason I watched the Squid Game, not the challenge, is because so many people were talking about it. It felt like a cultural zeitgeisty mm-hmm. event. Yeah. So I was like, I need to watch this. I feel that way about things. So unless Squid Game The Challenge becomes a show like that, I think it's a pass for old Ding Dong Danny.
Yeah. No, it's a hard pass for old Ding Dong Brady as well. Lexi with a latte. I finally hopped over to the Discord. We'll read your questions. The new user, you get one free question.
Wait, where's that?
That's a little bit further up. Have you seen The Fall of the House of Usher? And if so, thoughts? I honestly thought it was a documentary of sorts on Usher. It is not. Haha, I enjoyed it. I have not.
That's really cute.
I have not seen it. I know it is not about the multi-hyphenate singer, dancer, actor, producer.
Super Bowl
halftime.
Halftime performer.
Hey, headliner, Usher. No, I haven't.
I haven't watched it either. We discussed it a little bit when we were talking about Usher. I don't remember where we were, but we were. No, because I don't really like Mike Lee, whatever that guy's name is, Mike's shows. I tried watching The Haunting on, we watched Haunting on Hill House, and I was just like, this is way too many fucking monologues. Every episode has at least 18 long character monologues where the camera just very slowly zooms in on the person delivering it. And at a certain point, I'm like, all right, that's this guy's trick. Some people really like this. It is Mike not for
Flanagan.
Me. Mikey Flanagan, exactly. It's Julie just not for me.
Scarborough.
By the way, I love her. I think she's great.
I love her. She's great. Don't know who she is.
Really quick, I'm just going to list off the other things I've been watching. Okay. Gilded Age Season 2, The Crown, Snooze. And Season 3 Snooze. And 4 of The Sopranos.
Oh, I'm on Season 4. I'm rewatching Season 4 right now, too.
There's something about it's Thanksgiving. So I'm always like, let's watch the Thanksgiving episode of Sopranos.
Which one is that?
That's Season 3. It's like where Jackie and Meadow first start like dating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
Have you heard my theory, my internal theory, my overarching Sopranos theory?
No.
It's not a theory. It's just an observation. Every season, one guy, he's got to go.
Mm. Yeah, I mean,
every guy, every season, there's like a one guy, you're like, oh God, man, they gots to get rid of this guy. He's gots mm-hmm. to go.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's true in life too.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's people in your life who's just gots to go.
Yeah. Christopher.
Christopher. Paulie. Well, no, not Paulie. Big Pussy.
Paulie's the big pussy. Big Pussy's gotta go.
The other Tony.
Jackie, you think in season three, it's Richie's gots to go. And you're like, actually, Jackie's gots to go.
Jackie. And the other Tony, if you know.
Oh, yeah, the other Tony.
I guess we're really spoiling this for people who haven't seen it.
For a 20-year-old television show. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening, for being here with us. We really appreciate it. Send in your questions. Join our Discord, the Hey Julie Discord. I guess we're still a podcast about Survivor, but we'll have other things.
Well,
to
I'm going to keep watching it. Maybe. Well, maybe like, I think maybe after the BB25 ended, you and I had a lot going on, obviously, like need a little bit of a break and unplug from the stuff. But now you've had your time away. You've realized your mistake. You're begging forgiveness. And now you'll get back into this final stretch of Survivor.
How many episodes are left? Probably not that many,
I don't
right?
know. Probably like, yeah, I don't know. Oh, let me see. I have 10. Oh, there's probably only one, two. There's probably only four episodes left because the 10th episode is on next week. 10.
I suppose I can commit to that.
There's usually 13. So,
what I really,
yeah.
What I think we need, Brett, I think we need another show like Inside Man that we can watch and
discuss.
Oh
my God.
That's like my favorite show we've ever
watched.
What
did we
about.
Say we were going to watch? Like a couple weeks ago, we said we were going to watch something when like everything was over.
I don't remember.
No
can
idea.
Can our listeners tell us?
No idea. Julie Scarborough.
Thank you
Mike
all so much.
Lee.
Mike Lee actually is like a big
he's a guy, yeah. Everyone's name. I can read British guys.
All right. Thank you all so much for listening. We will talk to you later. See you on the Discord. Sorry that we've been away and that I didn't watch any Survivor. We will talk to you later. Bye, Jeffy.
Bye, Jeffy.